Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the Root.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Yes, it does. J.P. Shadrick is here.
He is here.
Pete Prisco is here.
I'm here. You never know it.
Tony Baselli, yes. Shocking. Tony Baselli is here, too. This is Jaguars Monday. Phone lines will be open in a bit. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Those should be interesting. They certainly were in the postgame yesterday afternoon and all day today on 1010XL, and certainly will be tonight. We'll hear from players in the locker room today. It was open to the media. We'll hear from Zane Beatles. We'll hear from Luke Jokel on what happened up front. Frustration for Gerhardt, is it creeping in? We'll hear from him. Gus Bradley, of course, spoke to the media today, too. And it was asked directly, guys, let's get right to this. Will Chad Henne start this week against Indianapolis?
Before you even play the sound, I have not heard it. I've been at high school practice, and I played golf with my dad today. And so I've heard nothing.
What a life.
I can guarantee it. The answer is Chad Henne's the starter this week.
It was not as clear-cut definitive as you would have thought.
Really?
There's some wiggle room, it sounded like.
Here's the first answer Gus had to Will Chad Henne start this week against Indianapolis.
I'll address that now in saying that we've been dealing with all scheme, offensively, defensively, special teams. We have not had a chance to talk about personnel. After looking at the tape, I thought it's tough. He had a tough day, and just that he had 14 hits. And then on top of it, the missed assignments that we had at other positions. So, you know, that's the truth right now. We're evaluating anything. But if you're asking me right now, yeah, Chad Henne's our starter.
So that's a long answer for a simple question, guys. So is Chad Henne the starter or not, Pete, this week? From that response.
I think he'll start him. Look, as much as I would like to see him play the kid, because I've been a believer in that from the word get-go, and I think what you saw in Chad Henne in the first 2 weeks is what you get. I don't think they're going to make the change. But this would be the time to make the change. You're at home. You got a fan base that is angry. You got a fan base that says same old again. So if you came out on Wednesday and went to that podium and you said, you know, I've had a change of heart. I went back and reevaluated everything, and Blake Bortles is going to start on Wednesday. All of a sudden, you go into your home opener. The fan base is, and you don't make moves for the fan base. Don't get me wrong.
I was about to ask you that. That shouldn't have anything to do with it.
No, but if home game, at home, not on the road, this would be the time. Because next week you go to San Diego. That's not the time. This would be the time if you're going to make the move.
Tony?
Well, I got to be honest. I'm surprised by Gus's comments. I thought he'd be emphatic. I think he left a lot of wiggle room and a lot of room for Blake to start this week. I still don't think he will. I think Chad. Listen, I would start him. And even last week when I was defending that Chad, I thought Chad played well, and I don't change my opinion. If you watch the tape, he played well.
I went back and watched it. It was okay.
He played well. You don't even know what you're looking at.
I know what I'm looking at, and I know that wasn't good quarterback. It was okay.
I'm not going to revisit this whole show. We're not going to do that show again.
Yeah, because you were wrong the first time. But go ahead.
No, I was not. But even last week I said, Pete and I agree with let him grow together, and that's why you play him. And so I would play him. Home opener. It's not like Indy's defense is very good.
They'll be on a short week.
Short week. I'd play him.
I think all the factors add into
not only that, let them all grow together. That's the one thing. This is such a young offense. And the one thing that Blake does right now better than Chad is buy time and move in the pocket.
Correct.
And this all, listen, they were all, there wasn't one, I watched the tape last night on the way home.
Yeah.
There wasn't one good thing. There's not anything I watched and like you can hang your hat on.
Well, let me ask you this. This is kind of a
topic I would play.
This is a topic that's been thrown around since the game's been over online, on Twitter and all this, and you kind of touched on it. Of the 10 sacks, there's 10 sacks in a game,
that's hard to do.
How many would Bortles have been able to get out of? Compared to Chad. That's the fight, right?
So unfair to do. Because you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know.
But you could look at the tape and say that Chad was probably responsible for almost half of them.
Half might be close, but
still five sacks.
Yeah.
I don't think it was half, but maybe three or four.
Okay, if it's four, it's almost half.
Maybe, I said.
He's responsible for. There were missed assignments.
I'll say this.
Free runners. There were free runners.
Yes.
Okay, who's responsible for the free runners?
Well, that's a great question. Twice, the Will linebacker came unblocked.
Right. So
the line was sliding to Mike.
So who's responsible for that? Is it the center or is it the quarterback?
No, the quarterback has to re-ID the Mike if he knows he's not coming to the Will.
Okay, so then that put those on him too then.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Jed has them doing. But I'll say this. There's a couple times if I was playing left tackle, I might have yelled on the sideline, get rid of it.
Right. I mean, but Tony,
maybe.
Tony, the one thing that would hold people back from starting Blake Bortles is coming to the line of scrimmage and not being able to identify.
Well,
they didn't identify yesterday.
There were some bad IDs yesterday.
So that's further reason why you should put the guy in.
There were some bad IDs.
So,
and whenever I played, that was on the quarterback, the ID.
It's on the quarterback pretty much everywhere you go. And the other thing is, when you look, Bradfield got whipped. There's nothing that one.
That was not a thing Chad could do.
That was not a thing he could do a couple times.
It was so bad.
Right.
I mean, it was awful.
What happened to him?
It was terrible.
And
I like Cam. I really do.
He's regressed.
I mean, it was awful.
He's regressed.
I don't even know. I mean, there's no like nice way to say it. It's not like, you know, Kerrigan's a great player because he's not. He's a good player. You know. Sam Young came in afterwards and blocked Kerrigan. And I'll say this, if Pazdor can't go, Sam Young's starting right tackle. I guarantee you that. And Buenco's starting to center.
Yeah, I was about to ask you.
Derek Newton blocked Kerrigan last week.
Yes, he's not. Kerrigan's a good player. He's not a great player. He looked like he was Kevin Green coming off the corner.
Speaking of Gus, I got to get this off my chest a little bit. I've gotten these on Twitter today and last night.
We're going to talk about Twitter here in a second, too.
But I want to get this off my chest. People have sent me a million things, tweets this week saying today and last night about Gus has to get off the rah-rah bandwagon. He sounds like a college coach. Everything's not great. Get rid of Gus. He's two games into his second season.
On a complete rebuild.
On a rebuild with a team, when you look at it, banged up by injuries in a lot of spots, right? Particularly at wide receiver, no veteran there. And they want him out. Are you kidding me? Now, I'll say this. I disagree with throwing the ball at the end of the game.
I do, too.
I will disagree with that 100%.
I do, too.
Well, see, he actually defended that today at his press conference.
I know, but he's defending it by the competitiveness.
We play to the end, we compete to the end of the game.
That's old school, old fare. You hand off and go home. You don't risk. You're down. There's nothing happening there but bad. Nothing good's happening there. Nothing bad happening there. Put that aside, though, because I think Gus –
You know who else was like that? Tom.
Tom.
Same way.
Tom. And he used to infuriate me, and he'd get so mad. I go, why were you doing that at the end of the game? All you're going to do is get somebody hurt. What are you, a coach? No, but I'm smart enough to figure out that somebody could get hurt in that situation. And there are other coaches that do that. It just doesn't make sense.
A lot of them do.
It doesn't make sense.
Good news, though.
But Gus is – people are wrong about Gus. Let him have his time to build his team. The guy's doing it his way. I don't agree with his quarterback decision. I don't agree with some of the free agents they signed. But to two games in to talk about Gus as a college coach, rah-rah crap, that doesn't fly.
Same thing about Pete Carroll. He's doing okay.
Right.
What do you make of the whole before halftime timeout situation?
That is befuddling to me. The only thing I can think of, and as I was sitting there watching it, is they thought that Washington was going to get the snap off, and they were completely out of position and running around disorganized. And they thought if Washington got the snap off, they could get a big play. And so Gus said, let's call timeout, because at the end of the day, if you call timeout there and get set up right, the chances of them completing a Hail Mary are very slim.
Right.
And I think maybe he thought they were going to get it off. They weren't prepared. They hit something over the top, and it's
one of the things that not just young coaches, all coaches do a poor job with is clock management. And I've said this many a time, is hire somebody to stand on the sideline and give you the situation and say, call timeout after this play. We got this. You know, get
yeah,
this.
But that wasn't that. That was a different situation. That was like, I don't think we're ready. We're not organized. We don't have the right guys on the field. Maybe they had 12 guys on the field.
Clock management, Tony. It's still managing
your clock. It's
like situational clock management. It's just like yesterday when you know the timeout in the Jets game. I don't know if you saw that. Marty Morningwig, they threw a touchdown pass, but Marty Morningwig went up the sideline saying, timeout, timeout. He can't call timeout, but somebody yelled timeout, and the officials were instructed when your back is to the sideline to take the timeout. They threw a touchdown pass. The play was negated. Would have tied the game. So I just think there's a lot of bad sideline maneuvering, but – as far as, you know, calling timeout, I think you're right. They were probably out of position.
Yeah, just one instance. I just brought it up as an instance, just a talking point there. Offensive line, 10 sacks, of course, allowed. I'm going to ask you this, Tony. Was there a worse day in this team's offensive line?
Not according
history?
To the numbers. I've been a part of some bad ones, though. 95.
Did you ever give up 10 sacks in your career?
Like
I don't think you've given up. I don't.
I'm sure I have. Over 8 years.
I don't think you did.
Years.
I don't think you did.
That was a bad day, though.
That was. When was a bad one for you back in the day? There was a bad one. Was it Detroit once?
For me individually,
no,
or
the team.
Oh gosh, in '95, I think we had 3 games where we gave 7 at the time.
Detroit was one of them. I remember the Mercy game. Oh. I think that was one of them.
Detroit, the Jets. We played the Jets. I think Brunell got hit 500 times. I mean, literally, he got hit every play, probably.
But those were the days of the 7-step drop.
Yeah, it was different. I
mean, this guy's getting dumped in 3 and 5-step drop.
We held the ball a long time back then. It was different.
This was as bad an offensive line performance.
It was poor.
All the way around. Although Pro Football Focus gave Zane Beadle a positive grade. Tony.
Yeah, it was a bad day. It was a bad day for everybody. I'll say
they
this.
They got a plus in the pass blocking for Zane Beadle. What do they watch?
I don't know how you give a plus to anyone on offensive line that you give 10 sacks. You should be automatically all negative. All of them.
So when things
if you're a part of 10 sacks, you should just – I don't care. It had to be miserable watching film. I used to dread these days, honestly. Even if I played good – and we played poorly as an offense. Because you always, even if you play really good as an offensive lineman, you always have one or two plays that you're not proud of. It's not great. Even if it's not terrible, you get beat. It just doesn't look good. I mean, it's tough. You're blocking good athletes. You'll be a little out of position. And when you lose like that and the whole team plays poorly, I would wish upon everything that I could find a way to be like call in sick and not show up, because that had to be miserable. That's a terrible. That's embarrassing, because you're a professional. You have pride in what you do. I watched the tape. I didn't play. I felt bad. I mean, I would. That's embarrassing. You don't want. I mean, that's not what you want to do. As an offensive lineman, give 10 sacks. My goodness.
Zane Beadle in the locker room today was available to the media. Here's what the left guard had to say.
The way that the game went, it's not on Chad. You know, it's on all of us. All 11 guys that were on that field at any one time. Could Chad have been better in certain situations? I'm sure he would tell you that he could. I could have been better in certain situations. And that is to a man on this offense. And talking to guys today, I think everybody has that attitude. Like I said, we'll build from this and we'll use this to get better.
There's Zane Beadle earlier today in the Jaguars locker room, joined by Jeff Lagerman for Jaguars All Access tonight on Channel 4 coming up at 7 o'clock.
Correct. Going to have the sack master, Ryan Davis, on.
He's had a good start to the season.
He has.
Nice bright spot on the defense.
He's a valuable asset to the Jaguars' defense. It gives him a lot of flexibility, you know, to play the three technique on nickel situations. And he's getting better. I mean, that's the nice thing about him. And this is a guy that was undrafted. I mean, anytime you can find guys that can play a role and they're undrafted, I mean, that's an absolute boon to a franchise.
Jeff, this was a defensive front supposed to stop the run and pass rush, and they didn't do much of either of those yesterday.
Well, I got to give credit to Alfred Morris now. I mean, that guy is a great back. I mean, a great back. If you take 20 other start running backs in the league, I guarantee you they are not anywhere near the yardage that he was able to rack up. He's that good. He's that good. He's underappreciated. But yeah, at the same time,
there were some gaping holes though, Jeff. Too.
Big holes. But he makes the holes.
I mean, why?
He sets it up.
Why scheme? Getting beat? Hat on hat? When you
watch
the tape,
it's not scheme. Around, I thought. You know, the Jaguars defense. They play eight guys in the box. That's what they do. You know, I mean, that defense is designed to stop the run.
Did you think they got pushed around?
And they got pushed around.
Yeah,
a
that's
bit.
What I thought.
Yeah, I thought that Roy Miller. Even though Gus Bradley said him and Senderek played well, I think Roy at times got out of position. I think Senderek was solid. I think Chris Clemens and the linebackers, Red Bryant, weren't that great. I mean, they weren't at their best.
And you guys watched the tape from a week ago when the Texans played Washington. The Redskins line looked bad that day.
I wouldn't say that. They ran the ball pretty well against the Texans too.
But they couldn't block the pass rush at all.
Well, no, that was RG3.
Well, that was part of him.
RG3, and that's J.J. Watt.
And I'll say this. They did a good job against J.J. Watt in the run. They pushed J.J. Watt around.
Yeah, he got pushed a little bit.
They did a good job. I'm telling you what, that offensive line can run block.
And I don't know how good they are individually as a man.
They play well.
The Redskins offensive line. But Chris Foerster, the offensive good line coach who's been there for a while, and Jay Gruden held him over, he does a really good job.
I mean, they're physical now.
So have you guys been yelling at each other yet about the quarterback?
No.
He's come around.
Yeah. I haven't come around. I just said I would play. They asked me. I said I'd play Blake. And it has nothing to do with what Chad did or didn't do.
Well, you guys both said that yesterday about the fourth quarter. You put him in then.
Yeah.
In that type of game.
Why not? Yeah, I mean, is Chad Henning going to lead you back? You know, it's the inevitable. You know, that this young guy, Blake Bortles, is going to be the quarterback of this franchise. It's just a matter of when, you know. And my opinion on it kind of changed in that, you know, after watching him in OTAs and minicamp, I'm like, he's not going to be ready. And then you watch him in training camp, and you're like, well, he's okay. And then all of a sudden on game day, you're like, where'd that guy come from? You know, he's got the ability to elevate his play. And I would venture to guess that if Blake Bortles is in that game, there are not 10 sacks.
Oh, we said the same thing.
Probably 6 or 5.
Yeah, 5 or 6. Yeah.
Jeff, does he play this week? Does he start this week?
If I'm reading the tea leaves, there's a chance.
That's what I heard from Gus a moment ago.
Right? Until I heard the soundbite from Gus, I said, no way. Then I heard that. I'm like, he might play.
But don't you think it sets up perfectly for him if you're going to make the change to start? You got the Colts on a short week.
And the Colts aren't very good on defense.
No. Right.
And you got a short week. And you have your home crowd, home opener.
Mm-hmm.
Give the. Let's face it, the fan base right now, you don't make moves for the fan base, but it's blah right now again. Same old.
Pete, I understand what you're thinking is there, but you know, you have to make the decision that's best for the franchise. And unfortunately, you can't sit there and go, okay, what do we need to give the fan base?
No, I understand the fan base. I'm just saying that's another factor in it.
And I'm not trying to show any disrespect to the fans.
I think you are.
You're trying. No.
He's not on Twitter. You don't have to worry about it.
Don't put words in his mouth. You'll get him killed.
You're trying.
He doesn't care.
Trying to make the best decision for a decade,
right,
or more.
Correct.
You know, so you need to do what you believe is right. If they feel like it's not time yet, then you don't play them.
What do you think?
I think it's time to play him.
Me too.
And I thought it was time to play him. Coming out of the preseason, I mean, he really changed my mind when it was when he came in that 2-minute drill at Detroit, I think is what it was. And he came in cold off the bench, let him down the field. He threw a couple near picks, but you know what? That's what quarterbacks do, man. I mean, they're going to take chances. At least they were calculated. It's not like he was throwing it in a double coverage. He was throwing them into one-on-one situations, you know. So I like that, you know. And I think that, you know, it's going to take time for that offensive line to grow. It's going to take time for that receiving core to grow. Let them grow together.
I'm with you.
Jeff Loggeman, Jaguars All Access. Sam Kavaras on with you. That's tonight at 7. You're here at the stadium, right?
We are here in the Bud Light Party Zone.
Nice.
As we always are every Monday.
And
we were actually on Tuesday last week.
We're back on Monday tonight.
Yes.
Since you're on right now, you're about to go up. It's Monday.
By the way, J.P. Shattuck might be the best-dressed radio guy.
Yeah, why are you all
this? What in the wide world of sports are you doing?
We had Inside the Jaguars today on
Jaguars. I know, but that was like 5 hours ago.
With you. I mean, Jeff, come on.
I know, it was 5 hours ago, though.
Yeah, well, you know.
Loosen up, J.P.
Try to class up the place.
Loosen up. Roll Tide.
Have a great show tonight. Jeff Loggeman on Jaguars All Access coming up. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. We will hear more from Gus Bradley, Toby Gerhardt as well, Cecil Shorts III. All coming up. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Remember, Helmets and Heels Radio tomorrow night. Jessica Laurentana and Blythe will be talking Jags and the NFL from their unique and strictly feminine perspective tomorrow at 7 on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Jaguars Monday continues.
Let's get it going. We can get it. JP Shadrick. Edgewise. Baselli's not here.
Pete Frisco. Baselli is MIA. He'll be back shortly. Maybe. Maybe not.
I don't know.
Hey, it's I don't even know what to say. Like, he's not in here. It's just me and you, Pete.
Okay. What do you got? What do you want to talk about? We got a ton to talk about. We can take some callers.
Let's talk defensive line. Okay. First of all, you know, it's a group that obviously free agency was the big haul this year, and they've been widely heralded. But how did they play yesterday for you?
Well, and I haven't watched the tape yet, but they didn't. From watching the game, they didn't look like they played very well. And when you signed Red Bryant, and you have Roy Miller, and you have Sendarek Marks, you expect to stop the run. You expect to do that.
That's what you're built for.
Right. See, I'm a big believer, and this is – I'm different from – like, he would never admit this, but because he played the game and it doesn't come into his mindset. But I just think in the NFL, it's brutal to go on back-to-back road games, and it's even tougher if you're a young team learning how to win, and it's even tougher if you're a young team learning how to win and you're going to play a team playing its home opener after losing its road opener. It's a bad combination. Add it all up, that's why I thought it would be a tough game for them. So, yeah, they were bad on both sides of the ball. And the defensive line, which, you know, you've come to expect to be a good defensive line, wasn't good. They didn't tackle. They got blocked. And again, I haven't watched the 22 tape yet, but just off the TV, it looked like they got blocked.
You said didn't tackle. The whole defense didn't tackle. Gus Bradley said there were 21 missed tackles.
That's
in that
bad.
Game.
You can't have
which
that.
Is very high, he said. He's never seen a number really that high before.
And for him, coming from Seattle, a team known for tackling, so it has to be infuriating to him because he's always been a big proponent of teaching tackling. You know, one thing about Seattle, they run well, but they tackle well. And this team right now isn't fast enough, and they're not tackling well. That's a bad combination. That's why you're going to have a lot of big plays.
How do you learn how to tackle in the middle of a season?
That's part of the problem in the NFL. It's not just here. I mean, the early part of the NFL season is bad because you don't tackle anymore.
You know, but I agree. The tackling was not great. You know, the thing was most disappointing to me? I thought we got out physical on both lines of scrimmage. Overall game. And I didn't think that would happen.
I didn't think it would happen either, because particularly on the defensive line. I thought the defensive line would be physical this year, really physical.
And they were against Philly.
Yeah. And Philly's a little different animal because they're not
– No, they're physical, though. But, and they were physical in the preseason.
Right.
I didn't think we were very physical yesterday.
And this week, when you play the Colts, they're not a team that's going to come in here and try and be physical with you either.
You better punch them in the mouth. I'd kick their rear ends.
So yeah, there's – I mean, there's
– I'm dead serious. I'd walk out – I mean, I'm not saying me personally. As a team, the mentality is that we're going to go punch these guys right in the mouth. The first play, offensive line needs to go out there, and we're going to punch them in the mouth.
Kind of like Tennessee used to do to you guys.
They didn't do that. I don't know about
you. A little hesitation there, wasn't it?
Let me just say this, Pete. We were number two in the rushing in the league.
I'm just saying, remember when they used to stand there and bang their chest and scream and stuff, and Tom would have you stand in the back? Like robots, because you couldn't yell back at them.
Go ask the guys.
I'm not saying you.
Go ask them.
I'm not saying you, because I know you. You didn't back down from anybody. But there's certain players that don't. You didn't. But you have to admit.
Leon Searcy wasn't backing down from anybody.
No, he wasn't either. But he wasn't around half the time, though. He was hurt and got hurt. And
Leon wasn't. He was always around.
How many years was he here with you?
Four.
How many years did you two play together?
Four.
Okay.
The fifth one, he
got hurt.
When we come back, we will go to the phone lines.
Yes. A
couple calls waiting.
They want to start up.
They want to talk quarterbacks.
Of course
too.
They do.
Of course they do. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Oh, God. What?
Before we take calls,
yeah.
I just want to say something about Twitter. I got to get something off my chest when we come back.
Oh, when we come back. Okay, we can go to break now.
Yeah, we can go to break. Okay. When we come back, I got something to share.
I can't wait. Twitterverse can't wait. Jaguars Monday continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
A lot of heat from people that don't know football. If you know football, if you get in the film room and understand what's going on, they'll say something else. Now, if you're better than Chad, bring your butt here and play quarterback. You feel me? You don't know football. You don't know what's going on. You just see what's on TV. It's more than what you see on TV. It's bigger than that. So, Chad, he's my quarterback. Period. Done deal.
There's Cecil Shorts III today in the Jaguars locker room.
He gave the you don't know speech today.
You don't know, he says. Jaguars Monday continues.
And he said Chad's his quarterback until Blake is.
And then it'll be like, oh, Blake's the greatest. That's how receivers work.
Let's go to the phone line.
That's how everyone works.
Speaking of cool. Oh, you had a story, Tony. I'm sorry. Twitter yes. Rant. Yes. Go ahead, Tony. We were patiently waiting the story.
And I know this is nothing new, but people are like just profane, and they say things that they would never say to someone in public.
They're nasty.
They're nasty. Mean-spirited. This is ugly people. I mean, mean-spirited.
Bad. And okay.
Well, you're just now realizing this.
No, but it just it reminded me yesterday. I mean, just like, and here's what I love. They're all experts. That's the problem with Twitter. They all become experts on things they know very. I don't think they know a lot about.
Well, they're fans, so they have the right to say it. But
yes.
I'm all for it.
But don't do it in a nasty way. Okay, you get it from the Jaguar fans. Multiply that by 32 teams because I get it from everybody. And it is nasty, it is vile, it is disgusting.
You just can't take it personal, Tony.
No.
I don't take it personal.
Sounds like you are.
No, I don't really care, to be honest with you.
Well, then why are you talking about it?
I can't imagine sitting on my Twitter, and I love Twitter, and being that mean-spirited and ugly to somebody.
No.
I just can't imagine it. I don't understand it.
I don't either. I mean, but you know, we used to have.
And my favorite one. I'm sorry, Pete. Didn't interrupt you, but I did.
Tony Baselli interrupter. That's what the I stands for.
Absolutely. And my favorite
was that Nancy and St. Augustine that had the call.
My favorite comment on Twitter yesterday was that I'm toting the company line. What's the company line?
The company
you didn't
line.
Get the, you didn't the, get the talking points.
The company Tony? Line is that you think the quarterback is, that they're making the right decision by playing the quarterback. That's the company line.
I never said that.
You need to check.
You said it for 6 weeks.
No, I never said that. I said I understand what they're doing, and I can. It makes sense what they're trying to do, and it's worked so far. By the way, through the preseason, it worked, allowing Blake to under the radar get better without a lot of pressure, and that's my whole point. I said 2 weeks ago with you.
Yeah, I convinced you.
Let's go to the phone line.
You came off the company
please.
Line.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to John in Keystone. Johnny, you're going to talk quarterbacks, right? What's up?
Yeah, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago I said I wouldn't play him until the first home game. And everybody's like, why? And I say, because that way he could come in on a high note. And I think the high note's even more critical this week because of all the stuff that's happened. I think it wouldn't be good for the team to go out and then have the, you know, Henny out there and the fans start booing would be the worst thing that could happen.
Oh,
so, I mean,
John, you're right about that. John, you're right. If Henny walks out there, they're going to boo. Based on the Twitter action I got, I mean, I have people saying they're not coming to the game if Henny's the starter.
Well, they're lying because they're lying. The game anyways.
But that's stupid. Home opener, you're not going to show up. I mean, give me a break. I mean, that was ignorant. But I agree with John. I would not be surprised if people boo Chad Henne if he comes out as starting quarterback, and that would be a shame if they do.
Why would it be a shame? They have a right. They pay their money. They can do whatever the heck they want.
And I have the microphone, and I can give my opinion.
No, but, I mean, why would that be a shame? Who's it a shame for?
I don't think it's fair to Chad.
He's a pro athlete. He gets paid a lot of money.
I'm just saying I don't think it's fair to Chad to boo the starting quarterback on opening day.
Well, maybe he won't be the opening starting quarterback.
I said if he is.
Okay. Look, he hasn't been good. He's not good. He's not a good quarterback. He's not going to be the franchise quarterback. So I understand the frustration if people boo. I get it. He's a temporary fix.
If you were a fan, would you boo?
No.
Okay.
No, I would not.
I like you because you're level-headed.
I would not boo. But I understand if they do boo because they want the other guy to play. They want the future. They want the future now. They want the future to be good in 2015.
Listen, I had no problem with fans booing us. We got booed off the field at halftime plenty of time when we weren't playing well. I'm fine with that. Boo away. If we stink, boo away. But if he walks out to start the game before anything happens.
And they boo and they announce him and they boo him?
Yeah, I would have a problem with that.
I would never do that. Now, if he throws four incomplete passes or something in a row and then gets sacked on third down, then fans will boo. But, yeah, and this isn't about Chad. This isn't Chad. You know,
and that's been my whole point, Pete, though, all along. That's
they
why
put
I said
him in his position that he shouldn't be in. He shouldn't be the starting quarterback. He's not a starting quarterback. That's not who he is. What is he, 6-15? What's his record since he's been starter here?
Something like that, yes. Close to it.
Okay. You know, what do they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing, repeating it over and over again.
It's very deep, Pete.
Well, but they just repeat it. This is what the fans are getting. Forget about the fans. You don't make moves for fans. You make moves for the good of your football
philosophy
team.
Philosophy by Pete Briscoe.
And the good of your football team is 2015. We were sitting here 2 weeks ago saying this team was going to compete for a playoff spot in 2015. Were we not? After the first 2 weeks, do you still feel that way?
Yeah.
You do.
It's a young team, Pete. You
know, I agree, and I think they're doing it the right way, which is why, like Jeff said,
when we were 4-7 in '96, do you think we were competing for the AFC title, go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that was magic. You caught magic.
We were good every year after that.
'96,
97, '98, '99, and then injuries in 2000,
right. And salary cap issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Dave on the South Side, quarterbacks. What's up, Dave?
First of all, I'll tell you, I'm not on Twitter, so I'm not the bad guy. I think you three are some of the best in the business. My question is about players playing for other players. And I remember back in your day, Tony, there was a progression of, you know, Steve Berline and Rob Johnson. And then when Mark Brunell got in there and the line had a little bit of time to cement, it was like lightning in a bottle. And I just have to believe that players play harder for certain players. In this case, could it be Bortles? Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, I don't.
Thanks for the call.
I don't buy that in the sense of guys play harder for other guys. At least I didn't. I mean, I was out there trying to do my job. I mean, I didn't want to show up on Monday and put on the tape, and I was the guy who's screwing it up.
You were self-motivated.
Yeah, I mean, I was, in one sense, it's very selfish. It was about me being the best I could be.
Correct.
But what Mark did for us, he made us look better and allowed us as a young offensive line in 95 and 96 because he ran around. Now, sometimes he made us look worse.
He ran into some sacks, too, back in the day.
But in 95, 96.
Yeah, Mark was – Mark's
because his athletic ability, he created stuff off schedule.
And that's what Blake's more athletic.
I agree. Chad's not going to create things off schedule. Blake will.
One of the greatest plays in the history of this franchise is Mark Brunell – scrambling in Denver.
96.
Yeah.
96 playoffs.
Yeah. Mark Brunell scrambling in Denver. That's what youth does. That's what a guy who can move can do. He can climb the pocket. He can move around. And again, Chad's a good dude, but he's a backup quarterback. That's what he is in the league. That's what he is, and that's what he should be here. And moving forward for the good of the franchise, the sooner the other guy plays, the better off they'll be for next year. What's the worst thing? And I keep hearing the offensive line problems, but what's
listen,
the
Blake's a big boy. He ain't
right.
He's gonna be fine.
Right.
I believe that. I've said that all along.
You have said that, and I'm you know if you can't say that, then you drafted the wrong guy.
And I agree with you there too. I don't. I'm of the, and I've told everyone here. I'm of the thought that a guy either has it in him, or he doesn't. And I don't think you can coach it. I don't think you can teach it. I don't think you can develop it. I really don't. Now, it may take guys to mature physically and mentally, but they either have that in them or not. And Blake Bortles has that in him.
Is
the competitive nature, the ability to stand in there, the vision, the anticipation.
Climb the pocket.
I mean, all of it. I don't know how you learn it, but he has it.
I want to ask you this. Tonight, Indy plays Philly. So you got a good gauge. You guys saw last week. Is Indy's offensive line significantly better than
Indy's Jackson? Awful. Let me say that right now.
Is the offensive line – is their offensive line – is their offensive
outside of Reggie Wayne, Hakeem Nicks,
and Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton.
And Dwayne Allen and Fleener.
They're no good.
Okay, so the offensive line isn't
– they're average at best.
Are they better than this line? Better than the one that took
they
the field?
They should not be.
They were better than the one that took the field yesterday.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be talent-wise.
So,
but listen, I've said all along, Andrew Luck, in my opinion, is one of the top five best quarterbacks in this league, and I put him up there with the rest of them because not he yet. Does things on a bad team and makes them good.
He will be. He will be. But, again –
what he did in Denver the other day
– yeah, climbing the pocket.
No, but I'm saying – no, I mean, Pete, he's as good as the rest of them. He can put the team on his back. There's very few quarterbacks in this league that can put the team on their back and win the game.
See,
and he can.
And that's my point in the whole thing is the kid here has a chance to be that. The quarterback right now has no chance to be that.
I don't disagree with that.
Phone lines are jammed. We'll come back in a moment. Take more of your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, including a call that wants to hammer Pete, finally.
Oh, good.
They're entitled to their wrong opinion.
Can't wait. Park at one of six conveniently located lots and ride to the game with fellow fans in JTA's climate-controlled shuttles. Stadium Shuttle Service operates 2 hours before games and has continual service during games at the Convention Center lot. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
This stuff is going to happen. We got to do it. Either we just keep falling into it, we go into the tank, or we take the positive things that happen in the game and move forward. I mean, that's the only thing we can do. And so, yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah, it sucks. You got to go home and look at your family, and they asking you what happened, why, somebody said this or that at school. I mean, that sucks. Nobody wants to deal with that. And so we got to get back to the table and find a way to get it done, no matter who it is, what. There's certain things that we know we need to do in this defense, and he's having every damn Sunday.
The comments of Roy Miller today in the Jaguars locker room. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351.
Yeah, Roy hit – I mean, listen, he's exactly right. You can sit here and complain. You can, point fingers. You can do all that, and it does suck. It sucks going home. It sucks being the community. You know people are looking at you. You're asking questions. And if you have kids, I mean, it sucks. But you know what? You're a professional. And Roy's exactly right. You got to go do what you do. You got to focus on what you did well and build on that and fix the mistakes. I mean, he said it perfectly.
I've got to lay some ground rules before this next phone call.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
We love calls that hammer Pete Prisco.
Yes, we do.
But keep it clean. That's you too, Pete.
Oh, go ahead and hammer me.
Chris, West Side, talking about
hammer
Pete
me.
Prisco. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Pete.
Yes.
How are you going to let Jason Cole out-scoop you, man?
What? Because he said that people in the locker room? Come on.
What sources does Jason Cole have that you don't have?
Wow.
Whoa. That's a good point. That's a good call.
That's a little hesitation,
I guess he has some, but I don't know. I haven't heard that. Have you heard the players want Blake Bortles to play?
I have not, but I have not been in the locker room today.
Neither have I.
Or yesterday.
I mean, what's your feeling, Pete? How do the players feel about it?
Players will play. I think deep down, if I was in there and I asked those guys that, I'd say the players want Blake Bortles to play. That's just me.
Well, true.
If I've been around,
if that's true, then either the coaches don't have a pulse from the locker room, or
they don't play. Nobody plays No coach plays the player the players want to play. You make your own
decision. Eventually, they do.
No, they play who they want to play.
They play the guy they think gives them the best chance of winning. That's how it works.
I think they have a pretty good beat on that, if you ask me.
Who does?
The players in the locker room have a good beat on who has a chance to win.
I was a player, and we do have an – I mean, listen, yeah, sometimes the players are right. But if you're going to base the direction of a franchise on 53 overgrown adolescents playing a sport, then you're in big trouble. I mean, listen, yeah, I mean, we all got guys we want to play for, and you want your guy and whatever, and you have an idea who you think gives the best chance of winning. But Pete's right. I mean, as a coach, you can't You can't go in there and put your finger up and gauge which way the wind's going and make decisions based on that.
I'll say this, though. I'm not going to dispute Jason Cole's sources or anything like that, but asking around, there hasn't been much of that said from what I was understanding. So I don't. Maybe he had one player who told him that. And if you have one player telling you that, back in the day, you used to have two or three before you could write it.
I think Pete's basically saying Jason Cole is no Pete Prisco.
No, I'm saying maybe Jason Cole had a couple players tell him that. I don't know. I don't know who he talks to in that locker room.
I think we should have a cage match between you and Jason Cole.
I like that. Be a little cage
match? I'd have a cage match with anybody. I don't care. I'd go in with you if I had to.
I love it.
3-5-5.
I love five, it.
I'm going to back it down from a cage,
get
man.
Get Jason Cole on the phone. Him and Pete can go at it.
3-5-5.
I like Jason Cole.
I do too. Jason's a good writer.
I backed him off a couple times over some things.
6-3-5-1.
I like Jason.
I do too.
How about another call, guys? Saqib, our buddy on the south side, wants to vent. What's up, Saqib?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, what's up, Pete Prisco?
How are you? Saqib used to call my show back in the day, the one that was canceled.
Yeah. And we still cry about it.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Some of us cheer.
Yeah. Hey, let me just say, I work in a pretty big company here in Jacksonville, without naming it. I was made fun of today more than ever because they were like, how can you watch them sorry Jaguars? And I couldn't say anything. I couldn't defend it. There's no defending what happened yesterday. There's no defending it. Everybody knows it, that they're sorry, right? But let me ask this, Pete, you from the beginning, you even personally told me, I seen you down there at the practice, right? You said, Saqib, start the kid, right? Start him right now. Don't wait. If he has it, he has it. Put him in. But my thing is, I want him to play this week because this will be their first home game, right? But my thing is, this kid is going to get killed.
No, he won't. Saqib, you're wrong about that.
I agree. I think you're wrong about that, too, Saqib.
Do you think it will help the running game, number one, if he starts, which I think it would a little bit because he can run the ball? And do you think the guys will play harder for him than Chad Henne? That's what people are saying.
No.
Thanks for the call, Saqib.
I don't buy the play harder.
Neither do I.
I don't buy that. And if we're counting on our quarterback to get rushing yards to help our running game, we're in big trouble.
Well, Henny was the leading rusher this week.
That's the problem. That's my point.
You know, the whole
my
play,
point exactly. And as far as people making fun of you, you know what? This is what you say. They're my team. They were terrible, but they're still my team.
Yeah,
that's what fans do.
And
my
you
goodness.
Say, hey, I don't play for them.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not me that's getting sacked 10 times. Here's the other. You know, you talk about when they play harder for them. This has always been a pet peeve of mine because I'm like you, a self starter. I never needed a speech, you never for anything in life or anything to get me going. You're not going to play harder because the coach comes in and tells you to play harder. You're going to play hard because you have pride in what you do.
That's what you'd hope.
Which is why you're in the pride of the Jaguars.
Thank you, Pete.
Well done, Tony. Congratulations.
No, but I agree. I mean,
that was a lot.
You got him.
You want.
You win.
Listen, the good teams.
Copy fax face off to Pete.
Yeah, he wins. I give it to Pete. You know, you want to if you want to be a good team,
even you can't hold that in.
No, I can't. If you want to have a good team, though, you have to have a bunch of guys who are self-starters, self-motivators.
In all seriousness, I'm with you 100%.
You got to. I mean, if you're looking for guys to, and not, there's nothing wrong with the motivational speeches. They're fun. They get going a little bit. But at the end of the day, I used to say all the time, the motivational speech the night before. And the pregame talk before, I enjoyed them. I enjoyed good ones. They're fun. They got you maybe focused a little bit. But I said all the time, from the time in the locker room when Tom would give whatever speech he gave, in the 7-minute walk out to the sidelines to get introduced, it meant all he said was out the door.
Right.
There's nothing he said that I thought about at that moment when I was sitting on the sidelines at the national anthem, and I did the same thing every time national anthem. I looked across the guy, found the guy I was going to be playing against, and basically my mind said, it's me and him for the next 60 minutes are going to go to war.
Right.
And I was hoping we'd win the toss and take the ball before they had the deferred deal because I wanted to get on the field as soon as possible to get the game started. But all the motivational and all the stuff that went on before – not that I didn't enjoy it, not that it doesn't have its place, but for me personally, it was gone. It was about me going to play the game.
What was bullet point two in the pregame speech?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I had a head coach of an NFL team a couple years ago tell me, he said, look, I was talking to him, like, he goes, I have this great speech. I pulled this thing out. I got all those things from, it was like from a general, and it wasn't Tom. It was somebody else. He goes, I'm going to read this to the team and see if I, and I said to him during the week, I said, are you out of your mind? They're going to be, their minds are thinking about what they're eating for dinner that night after the game. They're not going to listen to that stuff. You know, and that doesn't make you play. I just have never been a big believer in that. I'm like you. I'm the exact same as you.
I mean, the only thing I think it makes,
I want to kill that guy across from me. That's
the only
it.
Thing I can, I mean, I think it, I mean,
it might be a fine, Pete.
It might focus you a little bit. I mean, for that moment, to get your mind.
Find me.
Might get your mind centered on the right thing for that moment in the locker room. But I still say by the time I walked out there.
How many times did you laugh at what they were saying? Like, it privately laugh. Like, what is he, serious with this?
There was times there was times you chuckle and you joke about it for the rest, you know. But there's other times. I mean,
the concentration line.
And there was other things that, you know, Tom, there were things that Tom said were great.
Yeah.
And there are things that you kind of chuckle and it's like, all right, here we go. Let's go play. I mean, end of the day, I'm a firm believer. At the end of the day, it's 11 guys. It's the greatest team sport ever, but it's one-on-one matchups. Can I win against him? Can you win against him? And that's what it comes down to.
A photo of your student's breakfast could give them the chance to meet the Jags. Post on Twitter and tag at Jags Promotions or visit jaguars.com/breakfast by September 19th to enter. Sponsored by Fresh for Florida Kids. Phone lines are jammed, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Another hour of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
I still feel very strongly about Chad. It's never been, with all due respect, where we sat back with Blake. It was always a situation where we're taking him and he's competing his tail off in practice and we're putting him in position to grow as fast as possible. So it's not a comparison between, you know, how you doing it with Blake and Chad. They're separate. We're trying to get Chad to be as great as he can be and we're trying to get Blake to do the same. And we just let it go and we coach him. You know, our tails off with each of them.
There's head coach Gus Bradley earlier today in his Monday press conference, day after. The Jags fell 41-10 yesterday in Washington. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, and Pete Prisco.
Can
What's
I say
up?
Something about what Gus just said? Because I think people misunderstand sometimes when Gus talks about competing. And so in Gus's mind, and I actually agree with this 100% how he – part of the culture. When he's talking about competing, Blake Bortles and Chad Henne aren't competing against each other for the job. That's not the situation. The situation is what in the atmosphere he's trying to create, and I believe in it 100%, is he's trying to teach guys how to compete against themselves to be the very best they can be individually. Because the bottom line is if Tony Buscelli was competing against whoever the backup offensive tackle was, Jeff Novak, who played here, then am I competing against him to keep the job? Or am I competing to be the best left tackle with the God-given ability that I have?
Both.
No, only one. Because if I become the best I can be, I wasn't competing against Jonathan Ogden to see who the best tackle was or anyone else. I was going to be the best I possibly could be because at the end of the day, if I can maximize my potential and my ability, then that's the top of my game and that's as good as I can be. And if I compete at that, everything else will take care of itself.
To a point, you're correct.
And
I was always a big believer in that too, and I still am, which is why I always say everybody always goes ring, hall, money or whatever. And I say, well, if you're a Hall of Fame player, then you did everything in your power to get that team to get that ring.
Right.
Then you can look yourself in the mirror and say, you know
absolutely.
What? I did what I was supposed to do. Other guys might not have, but I did. I pushed myself to the ultimate limit. And
So talking about Chad and Blake, as we sit here today, right now, who do we think is more talented and who has a higher ceiling as a quarterback?
There's no doubt.
Bortles. I mean, would you agree, JP?
Yeah, sure.
So wouldn't Blake and the coaches being doing Blake a disservice if they made it about competing against Chad Henne? because then you really never maximize how good you can be, because your sights are another guy. Maybe you're better than he is. And so if you just compete to be better than him,
right,
then you never get to the next level.
Right, you're competing to be the best.
You're competing to be the best. And that's what Gus is saying. So when he talks about competing, because I get all these times, well, I thought Gus is about competition, you know, competition and all this stuff. It is. But it's about the individual. And they have and that's why I go back to what I've been saying. Whether I agree with who should be starting right now, take that off the table. Their whole plan all along was to create an atmosphere for Blake Bortles where he could become the best he possibly could be as quickly as he possibly could get there. And I agree how they've done it up to this point.
See, and I'll sit there and say I don't.
No, up to
but
the, up
I
to,
understand. I've talked to them and I understand why they did it.
And so up until now, I get what they've been doing. And creating an atmosphere where Blake Bortles can be the very best he can be and continue down that path so he can be what all of us believe he is, what he wants to be, what we want the franchise wants him to be, is to be a top-tier quarterback to take this team and compete for championships.
Sustainable
winning
success at the quarterback position.
Yes, and so that's what they're doing. It's not about him competing as Chad Henne.
No, because he's better than him right now.
So why? So everyone needs to – don't call – and stop Twittering me and stop saying about competition. I thought Gus is about competition. But he is. And that's the whole atmosphere he's trying to create with every player. And so
let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
100% honesty. Is there a little bit of nurturing here going on instead of, you know what I mean? Like you're worried a little bit about, I mean, not you. I'm talking about the team. You're kind of babying him, nurturing him, trying to feel the right time to put him in instead of letting Blake go in and then finding out if it was the right time. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's like a kid when you're on a bike, you have the wheels, you know, we all had the training wheels, mm-hmm. although I don't remember having those because I probably just hopped on mine and went, but
oh my God.
We all had the
wheels. Of course you did. Low center of gravity.
Probably, yeah, low center of gravity. I had scrapes all over my body and I came home and that's why I got a cut lip over here. But no, but when you had the train, you don't know the right time to you have kids. I don't have kids, but I'm sure when your kids were riding the bike, you had to figure out when was the right time to take them off, right?
Yeah, you're trying to get them to the point where they have the confidence to take them off because you know they can do it.
And
but they have
you
to
probably
they can do
babied
it
a little bit. And the reality is, if you had just sent him out and go, he would have been fine.
Well, I probably babied my girls more than my boys. I think I just told the boys go crash.
But you don't understand.
Yeah, I know you said.
I just worry sometimes where you baby the guy too much. Just
I don't
go.
Think,
just
I,
go.
I don't think that's the situation. I don't. I really don't. I think they're trying to create an opportunity for him to have the success and become the player that they believe they drafted. Now, I think it's time.
It's time.
I do believe that. But I wanted to say
got
that.
Got more calls?
I heard what Gus said. I want to make sure everyone's clear. So stop tweeting me about, that Gus said.
I understand what you're saying
because
about
it's
that.
Because they're misunderstanding what the word compete means around here.
And I was glad Gus said that today. That was the first time I think it's kind of been explained that way.
Well, the other thing is when you go work out or something, Tony, when you work out, you don't need a partner to work out to push yourself. You push yourself, right?
Well, right now I don't do really much of anything.
No. I got plantar fasciitis, so I'm not doing much of anything either.
Oh, my goodness. I'm the most athletic one of the group right now. That's
no,
scary.
Not really. So I coach high school football. And I got in high school, it's really evident because you have all different skill levels. I mean, I have guys who are going to be Division I top end football players, and I have guys who are never going to play football after high school. And so, if I start telling them to compete against each other,
right,
that's idiotic. Because this kid who's never going to play after high school, and if I'm trying to compare him or could tell him to compete against a kid who's going to be a D1 kid, that's bad coaching. And so the message is, listen, hey, you are only going to play high school football. Let's maximize. Let's work hard. Let's compete. Don't give in to, what you are right now. Push yourself to the next level and become that. And it's the same thing with the kid who's going to be a D1. And if you can get everyone doing that, competing that way, then you have a really good team.
That'd be like me and him on the right side of a line. I'd be the right guard. You'd be the right tackle. I'm going nowhere, and he's going to the NFL.
That'd be pretty much
that'd
accurate.
Be it.
Yeah.
But my
point is,
you wouldn't compete any harder than I would.
No, but I'm not trying to.
You find a role and maximize your role.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Grab guys underneath piles like I used to.
But I mean, you're not competing against me.
No, because I'm not going to go to that level.
Right. You're trying to be the best you can be.
Now, I would like to each week have a better film grade than you.
Why does that matter?
Because life is a competition, Tony.
Yeah, but here's my point. This is where you go back to this. But Pete, this is where you're contradicting yourself. Because if you're a self-motivator, like you say you are, then who cares what my grade is? I didn't care what other people's grades were.
See, I used to love that. We'd go watch the tape and watch the grade in high school, and we'd go, oh, minus for him. Look, he's got a minus. Yeah. So I get a better one.
I didn't care.
I do. I like to compete. You
no,
compete.
But that's not, no, I didn't care what anyone else. I wanted my grade to be 100%.
But it wasn't going to be.
Well, so that's what I wanted it to be.
So if yours was 94, wouldn't you?
No.
You wouldn't care that yours was the best grade of the whole group of the offensive line?
No.
Ooh.
Because you know what I cared about?
He gives trophies to everybody now, too.
No, I don't. Participation trophies. I don't at all. Because when I, in the NFL, when I watched the tape, like if I watched that tape yesterday and I was playing, I would be disappointed how we played as a group and that we lost the game. But after that, I'm watching myself and saying, what did I do? How did I play? Can I be better? How can I get better? I'd be embarrassed when I didn't do well. I'd be, you know, happy when I did.
If you graded, here's one for you. And I used to have this argument with Keenan, too, because he, you know, meaning. But if Keenan was one of those guys, if he caught 13 passes for 180 yards and the team lost, Keenan was okay with that. I don't care what he says. He was. Would you, if you graded, if you're watching the tape and you graded, where you graded 90, whatever they, how they used to grade the grade, if you graded 97 and the rest of the line was in the 50s, you wouldn't be mad at yourself.
No, but let me say it this way. If I played, let's say I played a perfect game or a near perfect game and we lost, I would be disappointed that we lost the game, but I'd be able to watch myself and say, okay, I played well.
Right.
If we won a ball game
and you played like
and
crap,
I played bad,
you'd be mad at yourself.
I was happy we won, but I was so disappointed and mad at myself.
That's the way I am.
I didn't care what other guys did. I didn't care what their grades were.
No. But you wanted you all if you were there in a group competition.
No, I disagree with you.
If you played basketball, if you had like 33 in a game and the team lost, were you okay with it?
I was sad we lost, but
you were okay. You got your 33.
Yeah, but I didn't care if someone else got 35.
I did. That means he was hogging.
Pass the ball around.
Get the rock over here.
Let's go,
Pete. If you are truly a self motivator, then why do you care what they do?
Because
you're not a self-motivator.
I'm a self-motivator, but life's a competition. Right. Here, participation trophy. Here's one for Tony Baselli. He was the good sportsmanship award, Tony Baselli. I mean, that's what they give away now.
No, that's different. My point is this. In life today, if I'm playing, golf's different because I'm trying to beat Ryan Robinson.
Right.
Because neither of us are any good. So
right. And neither am I, and I beat him, and I want to beat him too.
That's different. But as far as like in business or anything.
In business is a competition too.
Yeah, so. But I want to be successful because I want to be the best I can be. If someone else is also successful,
right,
that's fine. I'm good with that. Go do your.
But if they're doing the same business and you're competing against them, you want your business to be
better
than
their
business.
Okay, but if you're on the same team as somebody else, was I worried about Leon Searcy?
When you used to come to me in the locker room saying Leon's getting a little too much pub these days.
You know I never said that.
I don't know. It kind of sounds.
Pete, you're writing a little too much about that right tackle over there.
I'm not even going to respond to that because you know how asinine that is.
No, he never said that. I mean,
that'd be awesome if he did, though.
It's funny to think about, though.
Yes, it is.
You know, but, you know, one time he did pull me aside and say, you know, we're not a pair. It's a left tackle and a right tackle.
I never said that. What are you talking about?
Wow. You speak a different side of Tony Baselli.
He never said that.
Learning.
No, because at the end of the day, I didn't.
No.
It was not
no,
about
no,
that.
Never, I can honestly say he never said that. But he was my deep throat back in the day.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
Here we go again.
Mark Felt.
You, Yurko.
Yurko was.
Let's go back to the phone lines.
He would give it up.
355-NFL-1. 355.
Yes, he would.
355. One. Eric on the South Side has been holding for a long time tonight. Thanks for holding. Eric, you're talking about getting better, right? What's up?
Yeah, guys. Let me just start by saying I love my Jaguars. I've been a season ticket holder for a long time. I'm a college student and been paying for it myself for the past 6 years.
Wow, good
for
you.
I also, today to work, wore my Jaguars polo proud. I love my colors. I told my friends I don't talk about the Jaguars, but I still wore it. Anyways. The point I'm trying to get to is how much longer can college students like me, who, you know, maybe a mid-class, maybe a little less than mid-class, continue to pay for these season tickets and maybe put themselves through things like I do. Like, I'm a Florida State fan, so I go to Tallahassee and I stay the night. And then I get up really early on Sunday to drive back for a Jaguar game. I can't keep doing that. They're getting blown out every week. I mean, I can only take so
what,
much.
What's your name again? I'm sorry.
It's Eric.
Eric, it's only week two. We've only played two games. Let's not jump on the panic button yet. Listen, how long? As long as you want to. And I get your frustration, but it is only week two still.
Eric, how many games did you expect them to win this year, honestly?
Six.
You're optimistic, but
how many do you think they're going to win?
Four.
Nah.
I think I'm right.
How many do you think they're going to win, Tony?
I thought between six and eight.
What do you think now?
I think six or eight.
See? That's why you get the company line. That's why you get
no,
the company,
I don't think
the,
no, don't
the company
no,
line.
But Pete, the reason I think is I don't think
you read the talking
I don't
points
think the division's any good.
I don't either, but I don't think they're winning. I think they're winning four games, and next year they should win 10. That's my – I'm sticking to it. I said it. Four this year, 10 next year.
I think the point Eric's trying to make is that this has been the narrative for a couple of years.
Which is why I think the frustration comes with Chad, because it's been that way for a long time.
And I get that.
Yeah.
It's
been that way for a long time.
Thanks for the call tonight, Eric, on the south side. We'll take a timeout on Jaguars Monday. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. The CopyFax face-off is right around the corner. Baselli won. Prisco won so far through 2 weeks. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Phone lines open. We'll get to some calls in a bit. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. It is time for the CopyFax Face-Off. Tony Baselli from the University of Southern California, former first overall pick, second overall pick. First pick of the Jags in 95. And Pete Prisco from Arizona State University. They're 1-1 in the season. It is time for the CopyFax face-off. What are you guys doing over here?
Oh. It's our nightly, weekly visit from one of our good friends.
Yeah, it's fun.
Hey, we're doing the CopyFax face-off.
Oh, where are we?
Just give me the win.
I'll give you a nice introduction.
Just give me the win.
Let's get to the topic first tonight.
Okay.
Of course, this has been... We've talked about this before.
This is a serious topic.
We've talked about this before the show, that a lot of folks are saying this was probably the worst week ever for the National Football League. That's not the topic.
Well,
yes, it's a bad week.
Can I just say something?
Get that. We'll get to the topic in a moment. Yes, go.
Do they forget when Ray Caruth?
Right. The difference is, Tony, I said this today. We didn't have social media.
I know, but there's been some bad times.
Bad week. I mean, they forget about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, I mean,
there's been some really bad times.
I mean, listen.
So, yeah, it's a bad week.
I don't know about the worst ever, though.
Right.
Go back to the 60s, playing after JFK the week after, right? No?
This might be worse. This was worse than that. This was bad. I mean, yeah, I mean, that was a bad happening, but in the NFL, playing for the NFL.
Actual it took players a political, doing stuff.
It took a political hit, but this, what happened the last couple of days is bad. Before we get into the CopyFax thing, though, I do want to say this.
Okay.
There are so many good guys in the National Football League that don't get the attention they deserve because the few bad guys do. And Peter King, and I like Peter King, but Peter King wrote a thing, do we still love football today? Yes, we still love football. And you're going to continue to love football. Just because
he wrote that?
Yeah.
What was like his point?
Saying, you know, are people going to get turned off by the game because of all this stuff?
Did they not listen to the people wearing the Ray Rice jersey saying?
Well, not only that. I mean, not only that.
They had women saying she deserved it. I was like, you can't say that.
People came to the game in Baltimore.
The NFL is basically no different than the cross-section of, we go to the movies, right? There's plenty of people getting in trouble that are in Hollywood. We listen to music. I mean, Chris Brown, I saw the other day, he's got a new album coming out. Didn't he have an issue with the same exact thing? And people still go buy his albums. The NFL has...
Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah. The NFL had a bad week. Well, here's who had a bad week. Ray Rice had a bad week for what he did. Adrian Peterson had a bad week for what he did. The NFL's handling of it wasn't great. They botched it. No doubt about it. And they should pay the consequences for it. But the NFL has a lot of really good guys in this league. Tons of them. More good than bad.
The media forgets that, though.
And they always forget it.
Guess what? Because it's not the sexy thing that sells websites and papers. And
that's not tweetable, you know?
No, it isn't. Yeah. And it's shame on them for – but that's a whole other topic.
Let's get to the copy facts face-off. Adrian Peterson reinstated by the Vikings. He will practice this week. He will play in New Orleans this Sunday against the Saints. Should he be back, Pete?
When you read – what he did to a four-year-old boy, and I don't have children, but I was once a child.
And, we all were.
I remember.
That's very deep.
And I remember discipline in my house. And maybe I got hit, maybe with a belt or something. I don't remember it though, but it wasn't like that. And everybody says, "Oh, it's common. You take a switch out and you beat him with the switch." No. There's something wrong with that. When you put welts on a four-year-old boy to the point where a doctor says, this is concerning, I have to report this. They don't play him Sunday because obviously they saw what was out there. They saw the facts, and they said he's not playing. Well, now on Monday, all of a sudden, the same situation, and he's playing. You know what that tells me? That tells me that we have a desperate football team that realize that their team without their star isn't very good, and they're allowing him to come back. Let the process play out and make him sit his butt out until it actually plays out. Bad.
Tony?
Yeah, because that happens in every other job that we have. Listen, number one, I'm not condoning or saying anything about how Adrian Peterson decided to discipline his son. But I'll say this. One grand jury already, the first grand jury passed on it and didn't indict him. The second grand jury did indict him. And so, but he is not guilty of anything at this point. And so now are we, the NFL, the mob mentality going to prevail where as soon as somebody's accused of something, indicted of something, before they've had gone through the due process and gone to trial and been convicted of a crime, are we now going to stop them and not allow them to work and earn a wage? And we're going to start disciplining people based on accusations or indictments or other things? To me, that is ridiculous. Where the NFL has botched this, in my opinion, is they've tried to step in and they become inconsistent when they throw down suspensions and when they levy punishment at different times. What's the hurry? Let this thing play out. If Adrian Peterson, based on the indictment of the grand jury came down with, goes through trial and is convicted, found guilty of child abuse, then let's deal with it when that happens. Not right now. No different than Ray McDonald. Ray McDonald has been accused of domestic violence. Accused. There's no charges yet. There's no indictment yet. He hasn't been brought up with anything yet.
But that's different because there is an indictment against Adrian Peterson.
But guess what? There's indictments on people. There's grand jury indictments.
And he admitted to doing it.
There's grand jury indictments every day. On
Tony,
people.
And when they get indicted, day, do they admit doing it?
No, every day that they go through the process, there's indictments on people that they're found innocent.
Innocent of what? He admitted to doing it. It just becomes an issue of, is it child abuse?
Well, if it's not child, if he's not guilty, so now the league is going to step in and tell people how to parent?
They're not going to tell people how to parent. They're going to tell people how to not abuse their children.
Well,
yes.
He has not been convicted of abuse at this point.
He's been
point.
Indicted
you just
said, for it.
He's not been convicted, Pete.
Been indicted for
we
it.
We just talked about it. People getting indicted all the
you
time.
You saw the pictures. Did you see the pictures?
Yeah, I don't agree with it.
Is that child abuse?
I'm not a judge. I don't know what the law says.
You're a human being. Does it look like child abuse?
If you're going to, listen, I'll say this. Do I believe in disciplining a child? Absolutely. Was I spanked growing up? Absolutely. Do I think that is okay in the right context, under control? I have no problem. I think the way my parents disciplined me and the belt came out on my rear end and I got spanked, I think that was just fine. Did I ever feel like I was abused was there ever, you know, marks and whips and down my legs? No. But at the same time, Pete, I'm not sitting here. Let the due process play out. What is the hurry of deciding whether a man can work or not? Because guess what? If he was working at a local corporation as a job in, you know, doing whatever, and this came up, I'm pretty sure they'd sit back and let the process play out and make a decision based on whether he was found guilty of a criminal activity or not.
I'm not sure they would. I'm not sure they would.
So you're saying now,
if you, okay,
so we're going to start every time.
Okay, let's just say for the sake of
argument, let me ask you a question.
If we were driving under the influence, as is, okay, and we were pulled over for driving under the influence, well, and we got arrested for it, and we were going to go through the process, would we be let go before the process got going?
Depends on the job.
I know I would be, and I think you would be.
Depends on, but that's the, Pete, if you get pulled over for DUI and you blow a point, whatever, you can go plea bargain and work your way out of it. But you were drunk, but,
right? Well, he admitted he hit him.
But it's, you have to let the process come through. But let me ask you this question. So Ray McDonald, charges have been brought up. Let's say charges are made, and he gets charged with. Perfect example. Warren Moon was charged with domestic violence. Went through the process, and a jury and the judge found him not guilty. That there was no domestic violence done. So let's say...
It's a little different.
Hold on, let me finish. Ray McDonald gets charged with domestic violence. Goes through the process, and are we supposed to, right then, when he gets charged,
no.
Suspend him?
No, because you can't... There are he said, she said, or whatever, and there's always that situation. There's no he said, she said in this situation. This is a situation where a four-year-old boy was taken to a doctor with marks all over his body, and Adrian Peterson admitted to doing it. You add that all up, however you look at it, you shouldn't be playing in the National Football
League. I disagree. Let the process go apart. Number one, I'm not condoning it one way or another. But if Adrian Peterson was raised that way, where if you got disciplined, you got to switch out, and that's what happened.
Okay, the process played out in the Ray Rice situation in the legal part of it. Based on that, he should still be playing then.
No, he was convicted. He was charged with domestic violence.
No,
yes.
He pled out. Yeah. It was a plea bargain to nothing.
He has to go through a process.
But
and as the league gathers all
that,
the information.
And based on that, as is, that whole plea deal, he was getting him into 2-game suspension. So until the tape came out.
Yeah, but they made a decision before they had all the facts. That's my whole point.
But the legal process played out and allowed it. Let it play out.
No, they didn't let it play out, Pete. They never got the tape. The
league didn't get the tape.
If they would have gathered all the information before jumping to a conclusion, it would have been much different.
Based on your
theory,
he'd be playing right now. Because the legal process was played out.
No, it's not true.
Is he being tried for it again?
They've got the tape.
Is he being tried for it?
I don't think you can try him again.
They're not trying him again.
That's right.
But guess what they can do? Once you get the evidence. So why don't you get all the evidence? No, they didn't.
The lawyers had the evidence.
The league didn't.
No. But we're not talking about it. You're talking about letting the legal process play out.
I am.
The legal process played out in Ray Rice, and look what happened.
To me, the whole legal process of getting everything put together of what happened and how it worked out.
Did the legal process work for Ray Rice?
And by the way, the Attorney General is investigating it because what the Atlantic City prosecutor, whoever it is, how they could plea that out to what they did based on that evidence makes no sense.
Well, they let the process play out. The league let the process play out. Look what happened.
I think it's a dangerous precedent where we're going to become judge and jury before we get all the facts.
By the way, 3-0 Sun Devils. USC, nice showing in Boston.
That was very good.
Pete Prisco is a winner tonight.
I disagree with you 100%.
By the way, ASU lost a quarterback Saturday night for about a month.
You got to let the process play out. Gather all the information.
You can talk all you want. It's over.
No, I'm just done.
The common facts is
done. Let's go to the scoreboard.
2-1, Prisco.
In no way do I agree with what Adrian Peterson did, though.
No, horrible.
For the record, we had a friendly wager on the USC game.
I know.
You picked Boston.
Oh, I did. Straight up. No points.
You must have been trying to irritate him.
Oh, it worked.
When we return, some headlines around the National Football League this week. We talked about a couple. We'll get to some on-the-field news as well. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Just when you thought this weekend could not get any bigger, your Jacksonville Jaguars are bringing a legendary party to the north end zone deck at Everbank Field. Be a part of Jacksonville history as the Jags unveil the Clevelander deck, featuring iconic Clevelander entertainment.
From Miami?
Yes, and the unveiling of the 2014 Roar Cheerleaders calendar. Don't miss the biggest party of the year this Friday at 8:30. Get your party passes for just $25 at clevelander.wanttickets.com. Parking is free. Rain or shine, 21 and over to attend. And if you're at the Bold City Brigade Void Party, it'll be that plus a little bit.
Wait, Friday. For $25, you get the ticket into the game?
It's into the it's a Friday night. It's the calendar launch for the cheerleading squad, the Roars.
Oh, but isn't the Clevelander open during the games, too?
Yes, it is.
Is that just like the Bud Zone and all that?
It's the north end zone. Right. It's where the pools are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that'll all be kind of reopened officially. It's like the one branded
on
the
South Beach.
Yeah, South Beach on Ocean Drive, and there's one at Marlins Park, too.
I got one more question before.
Big props to the Jaguars marketing people.
Oh, they do a great job. Great, great job. How long would you suspend Adrian Peterson for?
Me?
Yeah, if he's convicted of reckless child endangerment, whatever the charge is.
Well, he'd probably go to jail, wouldn't he?
No. A lot of times, first offense, he'll probably
get probation
or something like that.
How long is he going to be on probation for? 2 years?
I don't know.
I'd suspend him for a year. Would you? Right now, yeah. I'd deactivate him. Like.
Yeah, that was my whole point.
I didn't say suspend him. I said deactivate him. Don't let him play.
I was basing it on I don't think you can suspend a guy.
I deactivate him and pay him.
He should be paid. If you don't want him to play, I could. If the Vikings, if they want to say, we want to look into this, and based on the information, we are not comfortable right now, we're going to pay him. He's on paid leave. And that happens all the time at companies. And then you wait for the facts. That was my whole point.
That's something that people don't realize either. The players don't work for Roger Goodell. They work for a team.
That's right.
And so everybody's come down on Roger Goodell.
Let me ask you a question.
With Ray Rice.
Would you cut Adrian Peterson if you're the Vikings?
Before I'd cut him, I would let the process play out.
Let's say he's convicted.
I might.
Yeah, I think I would too.
And who's the team that signs him?
Well, you cut him, the league comes in, they probably suspend him indefinitely, let him reinstate.
See, here's the problem, Tony, with this whole thing with him is they had players that had some domestic violence issues, and they took him off the team until the process played out. That's the difference.
Well, here's the thing.
But you know this, grunts for stars in the way the NFL is.
Well,
they treat it differently.
And what I don't like is the mob mentality that the media and social media have today. And we see it in all kinds of things. We see it with Ray Rice. We saw it back with Michael Vick. See it with Adrian Peterson right now. I'm not justifying anything these guys have done. We saw it in baseball with the steroid guys. Go down the list.
Redskins nickname.
The Redskins nickname. You go down the list, and it's this mob mentality, like, we are going to attack and devour until we just ruin, decimate whatever we're going after. And, listen, Ray Rice, what he did was despicable.
Awful.
Awful. I don't think he should not ever be able to work again, though. I think there has to be some rehabilitation.
What are you going to do? Make him a pariah and put him on? I mean, yeah.
I mean, you remember
I think
back
he's got. I think he's A. I think he should have gone to jail for a while.
That's what I don't understand how he doesn't get in trouble.
And B, I think he should be suspended for at least a year before he, and then go through all.
I mean, you remember
the
Michael Vick? I remember the Michael Vick thing. I mean, you would have thought he was the worst human being in the entire world.
Well, I mean, what he did was disgusting.
It was awful. I'm not saying that.
But people can be rehabilitated.
Absolutely.
I mean,
listen, there's a lot of – my favorite part is part of the mob do really bad things, but they're the first to jump on people when they make a mistake.
The other
and
thing –
And so I, that's my –
this,
so
this has
my,
been going, stuff has been going on for years and years and years in all crosses of life, you know, everywhere, and all across. And but back in the day, we didn't have 24-hour news cycles. We didn't – I'm going to give you an example. One time there was a player, you might remember the player. There was a player here that once screamed out on a practice field and threatened to blow my car up on the practice field. Could you imagine that happen now?
Oh, it would be all over the media, social media.
Threatened to blow my car up.
And was serious.
You probably deserved
it. Dead serious.
I think you deserved it. I might have helped him. I might have lit the match.
Jeez. Wow! How about
that's
that?
Harsh.
No, I'm joking.
But no statute of limitations on this, is there? I don't think so.
But do you
remember? Do you remember when those players came at me after in the locker room?
Oh yeah,
the video was there and everything. That would have gone viral. It doesn't go viral anymore.
I used to put a tape line around the non-Pete Prisco area.
That wouldn't have gone viral. That was funny.
That was fun. I used to have fun with it.
That was fun. But now things go viral and everybody jumps in and dives in and just beats on people.
Does anyone think? And again, I'm not justifying anything, and it's sad that Ray Rice is the first NFL player, professional athlete, that hit his wife or girlfriend.
Well, no, remember Hardy.
Right,
was,
and Hardy's going to get in trouble.
And they pulled him out.
There's a perfect example. But the Panthers screwed up, in my opinion. Here's someone who got convicted.
But now he has a jury trial.
I understand
that. But that was before the judge.
Yeah, but he had.
And now he's going through the jury trial.
But he's still, I mean.
That's the law in Carolina, so technically.
Yeah, but technically, that's where you have to sit.
I agree. I think the Panthers should have sat him down.
Either suspend him with pay.
Which they did this
or
week.
Or cut him.
Which they did this week, yeah. They suspended him without pay.
Back to Ray Rice. He's expected to appeal that indefinite suspension. He has to file by about midnight on Tuesday. Wednesday morning.
How do you go fight that if you're Ray Rice?
Ray, here, play the video. You're done. Got no appeal. And how does the union has to make it look like they're fighting for him. They have to. But, I don't know, it's just it was a bad week for the NFL, but there is too much good. When Peter writes that thing about, do you still love the NFL? Yes, you still love the NFL. It's an entertainment product. That's what it is. And sometimes we lose sight of that.
I know, because the sad thing is, and I think in part of the league has done it, and teams have done it to themselves a little bit because they've been inconsistent, and it's the star treatment. But that also happens in every area of life. You don't think the people who are the most talented in businesses get away with more than the guys who aren't quite as good? And they don't try to protect those individuals? And
right. I mean, when you got hurt in Stevens Point, you had a private plane fly you home. When other guys get hurt in Stevens Point, they didn't have that.
I'm not talking about that.
True or false?
Where the league
Tony, totally, let's hear it.
Where the league has made mistakes is, they've hoped some of these things would just go away. And domestic violence is one.
Somebody in the league office, if they did indeed see that tape, was hoping that thing would go away.
But how?
I don't think Roger saw that.
How can you be so dumb to think that's not getting out sooner
right.
or later?
That's just naive.
That's ignorance.
With everything that gets out, yeah, that's naive.
But. The league has an inconsistency issue right now more than anything, is what it has.
League is trying to help that. They are hiring 4 women to serve as advisors in shaping the league's stance on domestic violence. A memo from the commissioner to 32 owners today.
Can I say something about that? And I'm all for it. I think you need gender diversity in every business. But that just feels such like a PR move to me.
Or a reactionary move.
That's my point.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I guess however you get there, and it's a good thing because gender diversity is good because women bring a much different perspective on a lot of things than we do as men.
I think James Brown, I don't know if you saw the pregame the other night. The point was, and Steve Bisciotti said the same thing, maybe out of all of this, it'll be not just because the NFL is so big and so popular, it won't just be an NFL awareness of domestic violence.
It'll be a
country awareness.
That was my point.
Right.
I mean, for everyone to think that this is just an NFL problem, it's not. It's a cultural issue. How a man can lay his hands on a woman is unimaginable to me. I've been married almost 20 years, 19 and a half years. I've been plenty mad at my wife, and I know she's been mad at me. But the thought of physically... attacking or harming?
I would think that my wife and your wife, if you ever did lay your hands on them, they would walk out the door and that would be the end of it.
I think she'd kill me first.
I think my wife would walk out the door and that'd be it. And it should be.
I think she'd shoot me.
It should be. You don't ever. Seeing that video stick in my stomach, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
The 3 senior advisors the NFL hired, Lisa Friel, former head of the Sex Crimes Prosecution Unit in New York County at the DA's office, Jane Randall, co-founder of No More, that's a domestic violence and sexual assault group. Rita Smith, the former executive director of the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and a few of their respective roles, what they'll focus on, overseeing the implementation of the domestic violence policy, building on existing training, including players and non-players, completed training programs for all teams, identifying resources locally, and all that. That's just what they're going to be doing, implementing this new policy.
And I guess you got to do all that. I mean, I get that. But programs for players, I've sat in those programs for players, and I don't know how much guys listen.
Right, they don't listen.
I'm just telling you, because it's a much more deeper seated issue. It's how individuals are raised.
Let me ask you this:
what they see at home,
real quick.
And that's the thing that's why it's a cultural issue. And I guess the other thing is, you know, the sad thing is for the NFL and for any businesses that you have to go hire a lady who's a part of a group to, I mean, don't we know that domestic violence is bad?
Don't we just know? Steps and things.
Oh, I get that, but don't we?
Some people don't.
We do, but some people might not.
I'm fine with it, but it almost sickens me. Like, really?
This just in, by the way. CBS 11 in Houston reporting Adrian Peterson may have beaten another child, scarring his face.
Oh, boy.
Well, if that's the case, then he needs to go to jail and not play anymore.
Well, it just defends your victory in the copy fax face-off, if that is true.
If it's true, though, that's my whole point. If we're going to go by Twitter alone of reports, and even the media now,
this is coming from Channel 11 in Houston. So, I mean, I'm just repeating what it says.
Read exactly what it says.
I don't have the report in front of me, but I'll
find it. What does it say on Twitter?
We'll come back. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with a report from CBS in Houston.
Yeah.
We'll talk about other news in the National Football League. Monday Night Football tonight as well. Final segment of Jaguars Monday in a moment. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio. Come protect the bank. Sunday, the Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts. 1 o'clock kickoff, the home opener, and the best game day experience of the National Football League. The world's largest video boards will be rolling. Jaguars.com/tickets. Get them now.
You know, not to make light of anything.
Yes.
Well, read the last report.
The last report out of Channel 11 in Houston is...
This is just now, by the way.
Photos and text messages obtained by the I-team reveal another incident which Adrian Peterson is accused of injuring another son while disciplining the boy. The 4-year-old is by a different mother. The latest incident occurred last June while the boy who lives out of state was visiting Peterson at his gated home in spring. A photo allegedly texted by Peterson to the boy's mother shows a head wound to the boy covered by 2 bandages. Other photos allegedly taken weeks later reveal a scar over his right eye. And then there are text messages that go on and say how he had it, how it happened.
He might never play again.
He might be going to the pokey.
That's what I said. He might never play again.
I mean, it sounds like an anger issue there.
A little bit of a lighter note. Yes. I might need to file father abuse for my 17-year-old. Can you be abused by your son?
Did he beat you up?
What happened?
He body slammed me the other day.
Really?
My gosh, yeah.
So I want to hear how you guys did against the...
What school is he going to?
He's like 6'4", 300 pounds. He literally body slammed me.
How did he do against the star defensive end?
We won.
That's not the question.
My son plays guard. He plays outside.
The kid played outside? Yeah. He never got near him? Did he pull on him and to hook him or anything?
No, he got hurt. Good kid got hurt.
Oh.
We rushed for like 350, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice. And you barely squeaked by.
It was a tight game. You're a good team.
28-27, is that what it was?
Yeah.
See? I pay attention.
You do.
Speaking of good games, Eagles-Colts tonight on Monday Night Football, guys.
Going to be a lot of points in that one.
Not a lot of defense.
No. Tons of points. I mean, you're going to see...
35-31,
I think I picked
Philly.
33-28, Indy.
35-31, Philly.
I think Nick Foles had a bad day last week. Boy, I went back and watched the game. He missed a ton of guys.
Yep.
Ton. Even in the second half when it looked like he played better. No slight to the Jaguars, but my God, how many busts can you have in a secondary in one game?
There was a few.
And even when they ran the routes, there were guys open and he missed them. He missed a lot of throws.
He didn't play very well.
No, if I was an Eagles fan, that would be concerning to me moving forward.
I think they win tonight, though.
I think the Colts win.
I don't. I think you'll.
Wow. So you think the Colts come here 0-2? So it's 0-2 Colts, 0-2 Jaguars.
I do.
I think they come in 1-1. I think Luck's going to light it up tonight. I think Luck's going to play out of his mind tonight.
Is McCoy going to light it up tonight for Philly?
Yes.
No.
Really?
By the way, I made that. That was my bold prediction yesterday on our show, that Marshawn Lynch would be held under 50 yards, and he was.
You know what, Pete?
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, you know what I've learned about Pete? Actually, wow. I've not learned. I've already known about Pete. He loves telling you when he's right.
Yeah.
He's not going to tell you when he's wrong very often.
Tony Bacelli,
I've never heard it.
Tony Bacelli is the best offensive tackle I've ever seen not named Anthony Munoz. Am I right or am I wrong?
That's why I love Pete.
I'm right, by the way.
Well, then.
I'm right, by the way. You need to be in the Hall of Fame.
How about this? Speaking of, I just was following on Twitter a second ago. Chris Mortensen, your buddy with ESPN, tweeted out a stat for the Bengals.
Yeah, that he hasn't been hit.
Andy Dalton, 63 times he's dropped back, has not been hit once.
That's amazing.
I just told Tony that. It's unreal.
That's incredible.
And
that's a combination of good line play and a quarterback who gets it out on time.
And change in the scheme. Remember what I said to you?
They're firmer.
They're firmer up front, and that's helped him. And he gets the ball out, and he's better. And Hugh Jackson's done a good job with him. That's a good football team.
Yeah.
That's a really good football
team. Well, you and I both said that.
Yeah. They're the best team in that division, and they might be one of the best teams in the league.
They might be the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, they might be. That defense is really good. You know, people thought when Zimmer
Geno Atkins.
He's not back to where he – not all the way back. He's back.
I haven't seen him
But
yet.
He's not back to where he was. But people thought that when Zimmer left that Paul Gunther took over. I know Paul Gunther's a good football coach. And those players like him. You know who's playing good football? Reggie Nelson.
He played good last year.
Yeah. Reggie Nelson's playing good football. They have a lot of bodies in the secondary. They have a lot of guys that can throw in there and go after the quarterback. Carlos Dunlap's a good player. Wallace Gilberry plays hard. The Hunt kid's starting to play pretty well for him. They have – and their linebackers. Emmanuel Lemieux is a 6-foot.
Is the Hunt kid from SMU?
Yeah.
He's a baby man-child.
Baby J.J. Watt, yeah. Big kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got talent. And in the offensive line, they're one of the few teams in the league. They can go left to right, and you can have – they have a rookie center. That's pretty amazing. You haven't given up a hit when you had a rookie center.
Last week, guys, the face-off was the NFC South. Who was going to win? I forget who. Tony, you won.
Tony picked the Saints.
You picked
Saints. He won with that. They're 0-2.
They're 0-2 after a loss to the Browns.
No one's good right now in that.
Carolina's 2-0. I don't think they're that good either.
You
think the Saints can turn it around?
I do, because they have Drew Brees.
That's not the problem, though. I mean, he threw a pick six yesterday,
right,
to Tayshaun Gibson, but they came back and took the lead.
They had the lead. There was a field goal at the end.
They allowed Brian Hoyer with no Josh Gordon, no Jordan Cameron, and Andrew Hawkins and Miles Austin and no Ben Tate to drive down the field and get a game-winning field goal on that defense. Rob Ryan.
I think Rob Ryan's a good coordinator.
But there's something to be said about Rob Ryan in his second year with a team where he's not as good as the first year because he throws all that stuff at people and they kind of come back at him and figure him out. It gets a little too exotic. I'm telling you, they play the Vikings this week at home, so they're going to win,
right,
and get to 1-2. But it's concerning.
And then where do they go?
I'm not sure where they go after that, but that's concerning. The Falcons looked awful against the Bengals yesterday. Awful.
They got it handed to them.
Ugh. Terrible.
Let's finish with this. Of course, the Jags have the Colts here at home this week. We'll find out a lot about the Colts tonight against the Eagles. But Jaguars-centric here. Where do you start this week? And Tony, where do you go from here?
Well, it's so hard to say. Cause, I mean, who's starting a quarterback?
I don't know. We'll find out. Going by today, it's Henny. But a couple days until they have
think?
To talk again.
It seems like there's a crack or crease open for Bortles to start Wednesday. I don't know. You know,
I still think it's going to be Henny.
I think it's going to be Henny, too.
And you got to
play. Even if it is
Bortles.
You got
to run the ball. You got to run the ball if you're the Jags. They got to get that going. And this is the week to get better because I don't think, you know, it's not like the Colts are going to really.
Hey, the Colts have added Arthur Jones. He's a good football player.
I know, but they're not going to stuff it in your face.
No.
You don't do it this week. You got to go to
the Niners last year in the regular season on the road.
They go to San Diego the week after.
That's a tough one. And then Pittsburgh.
San Diego's good.
San Diego's tough. San Diego's tough. And then they got Pittsburgh, right?
Who's not very good.
Yeah. No. Bad on defense.
Bad.
Really bad.
Told you last year they were done.
Yeah, they're bad. He's got to play all the young kids. He's not playing the young kids yet.
Not very good.
Who you guys have tonight again?
I have the Eagles. He has the Eagles. I have the Colts. If that was the face-off, it'd be 3-1.
Let's go right after this one. It's Fat Tony's show. Fat Tony, what's up tonight?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Tony?
Obviously, a lot of Jaguar talk coming up on the program. I did want to ask Pete and Tony while I have them here. Look, it sounded, Pete, like you thought that going up to Washington was going to be a struggle back-to-back weeks on the road for this young Jaguar team. What is the biggest disappointment, though, for you guys coming out of this game?
Didn't compete.
Lack of physicality.
Yeah, didn't compete. I mean, I thought they'd at least play for a half. They didn't compete at all. That to me was the biggest disappointment.
Sure, and on defense, guy, I mean, I am shocked that this Jaguar team, with all the improvements it felt like they made on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, how are they ever that bad in a week and a half? I mean, six quarters, they have been terrible on that side of the ball. I just never saw that kind of effort coming.
I think not having Cyprian impacts them in a lot of ways, though. Don't you?
Oh, yes.
Gosh, yeah. It's
night and
day. The run game in the past. So, but still, they got blocked, Tony. They got blocked.
That's a storyline to watch this week, too. Cyprian, he's still in the program, and we'll see if he can come back, how fast he comes back, if he comes back at all. If he's not, that's going to be an issue for a while if he's not back.
Yeah, he's their best player back there, I think.
The Fat Tony Show starts right now.
There you go, Tony.